Will you join me in our prayer for illumination? Almighty God, as we read your scriptures and proclaim your word, reveal to us the truth of your love and power. Amen. Amen. Well, through this Advent season, we have been looking at the five love languages. And if you are not familiar with the five love languages, I want to give a quick recap just so we can all be on the same page this morning. The five love languages is a book that was written almost 30 years ago by the Reverend Dr. Gary Chapman. And he was a marriage counselor and a pastor. And he started seeing a pattern in the couples that he counseled, that they were coming to him because they wanted to grow, they wanted to reconnect, they wanted to revitalize their relationships. They both had the passion to put forward effort, but they didn't know how. They didn't know how, and what he saw was that they weren't communicating love to each other in the same ways. And what he discovered in that is that we all do that, and we all speak different love languages. And the way I've been describing it in the last couple of weeks is with this. This is my holy bucket. It would be not a good water pail, but it can carry big stones, but not sand. And that's kind of what we all are. We are all holy love buckets. We have this vessel within us that wants to be filled. It wants to hold and be topped off with love, to know we are loved and to love one another. We all desire that. But we all speak different love languages. We all recognize each of the five love languages, but every one of us has a different primary love language. The five love languages are, I had you guys all take the test, so I'm going to see if we remember them all. Name a love language. Words of affirmation. That's a word of affirmation. Physical touch, yeah. What's that? Giving and receiving gifts, yeah. Quality time. Oh, he pulled an old bulletin out of the trash. Look at that. Oh, it's your test. Oh, good job. Good job. Never mind. Good job. He took the test. Good job. Quality time. That's a big one. Physical touch. Words of affirmation. Gift giving. Why can't I remember that last one? What am I missing? Acts of service. There we go. There we go. All those ways are ways that we receive and give love. Except for some of us, acts of service might be the way we communicate. If acts of service is my primary love language, it's a big rock. I'd be able to fill this bucket up with that. But maybe gift giving or receiving gifts is not my love language. If you are just giving me gifts, those might kind of go unrecognized. They might fall through the holes. And so we need to both know our own love language, what speaks love to us the best, and know the person whom we want to love. We need to know how they receive love. I use the example of my wife and I. If acts of service is her love language, and let's say my primary love language is quality time, and so I'm just trying to show her my love by hanging around with her all day, and she wants to be served, like maybe go do something productive while we're here. That's a way she would, if I'm just hanging out with her, and to me that's love, we're spending quality time together, but if her primary love language is service, then me going and mowing the lawn might speak more love to her than just sitting on the couch with her or talking with her, and vice versa. If acts of service, if I spend all my time, if I'm doing the laundry and the dishes and cleaning the house because my love language is acts of service, but her love language is quality time, I might feel like I'm pouring out all this love, but really she would just like to have a moment to sit together and to talk together. That's her primary love language, and so that's what fills her bucket. But we both speak different love languages, and so when if my primary love language is one thing, I tend to communicate it outward that way too. And that doesn't always mean that the target of your affection is receiving that as love. Now, we are looking at this not in the light of romantic relationships, though that is where this came from. This came from marriage counseling. This came from people wanting intimacy. But what we are doing is applying this theory, I believe this truth, to all of love, because we are encouraged and commanded to love one another. We read it this morning already. Love one another, love one another, love one another. How many times are we told to love one another? It's the greatest commandment, to love God with all your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. If we are going to love one another on God's behalf, we must know one another and know what is received well and what is not. Maybe it's a different language for some. And so the church, we have to speak all the languages. We have to be broadcasting that love in all those languages so that it's communicated and received well to all the people and all those different love languages. We did pass out a test last week so that you could figure out which your love language is yours. And I've taken it again, and it's probably the fifth time I've taken it now, and mostly it stays about the same. But it changes over the years. Things kind of vary, and I think it's based on kind of what's missing. What's missing in your life? What's been absent? And I knew that physical touch was one of my higher scoring love languages, but this week it was the highest. I don't think it's been number one before. And what I realized is that we've been without physical touch. We've been limited in our physical closeness for some time. And it's been difficult, especially for people like me who communicate love physically. I'm a hugger. I can count on one hand how many of you I've hugged in a year and a half that I've been here. That's not normal to me. And it's hard for me, and it's going to remain that way for some time still. But I'm a hugger from way back. That is how I initiated interactions and how I closed interactions with a hug. It's good to see you. Let's talk. Here's a hug. Let's figure out what's going on. And on the way out, it's the affirmation. That hug is the, let's go do that. And know that we're together in this. So in my personal relationship, the physical touch is there, but I think socially and church-wise, it's missing, and it's hurting me as a physical touch love communicator. And I think there's something to that. I do think that every one of these love languages is essential to the fullness of how we communicate love. And what we've been doing in the last couple weeks is looking at how these, instead of applying them just to our romantic relationships, how can we apply this to the greatest commandment? And so let's look at each one of these languages and say, how does this apply to how we love one another? What, not just our spouse or our partner, how does this apply to our relationship with our children, with our parents, with our neighbor, with our church members, with our community? It applies. It works. How does this apply to how we love God and how God loves us? And today, with physical touch being the language that we are speaking, it's difficult. It's a tough one to tackle in that world of Scripture, in that world of an unseen God, and to talk about the physical touch of God and how God loves us through physical touch, and how we can love God through physical touch. Now, can you find it in Scripture? You can. It's hard, but it's there. So a scripture I'd like to share with you to get us started today is from the book of Daniel, the prophet Daniel, in chapter 10, where it says this: "The one who looked like a man touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and began to speak. I said to the one standing before me, 'I am overcome with anguish because of the vision, my Lord, and I feel very weak. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my Lord? My strength is gone and I can hardly breathe.' Again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. 'Do not be afraid. You are highly esteemed,' he said. 'Peace. Be strong now, be strong.' When he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, 'Speak, my Lord, since you have given me strength.'" That was Daniel's account. He was imprisoned and weak and highly faithful and speaking with God. And he was alone in his cell and he was desperate and lost. And in this moment, this one who appeared, looked like a man, was in his cell with him. And he touched him. And Daniel was strengthened. It's pretty amazing to think of God in that way. And I think it's rare. It's certainly rare in the Old Testament. There's not many places that you're going to find an account where God was not just physically present. That happens. God is physically present all that time, but a physical touch being shared with between God and a faithful servant is very rare. And I started thinking about that in the world of the church, and how desperate we must be, especially if your primary love language is physical touch. How desperate are we to know that loving touch of God? And how in the world could we ever reciprocate? How could we ever share that love in the same way? I'd love to give God a hug, but how? Well, I want to tell you about two quick stories about my call to ministry. It started with an Emmaus walk. Is anyone familiar with the Emmaus walks? All right. I went on an Emmaus walk. It's basically a weekend retreat in which people who are kind of seeking a deeper relationship with God kind of give it a chance to break away from the world and focus on that. And I was blessed to do so. I had a friend at work that kind of recognized that in me and sponsored me to go on this weekend retreat, and it changed my life. By the end of the last day, I found myself in our final worship service, and we shared communion together, and in that moment of communion, I was carrying so much weight, so much burden, so much heaviness, so much sin and unforgiveness. It was hurting me. And oftentimes when we look to see the hand of God in the Scriptures, that's where we find it. We find the weight. We find the hand of God being heavy or devastating, that we're aware of our sin, and it's painful. But in that moment, something changed deeply within me. I was forgiven. I think you have been forgiven. I just didn't fully understand it. I didn't fully realize it until that moment when I asked for forgiveness, and wholly received it. And it fell on me physically. I could feel it. And in my journal afterward, I wrote what it felt like. And it felt like a warm, damp blanket. I know that's kind of a strange sound, but it was that heavy. Can you imagine taking the cover off your bed and soaking it in a really hot bathtub and then wringing it out completely? It wasn't dripping wet. It was just, it was damp and hot. It was like being covered in that. And it was comforting. And I could feel it. And it impacted me deeply. And it was in that weekend that I accepted a call to ministry. And from that moment on, I went forward to become a pastor. I had no intention ever of being a pastor. Never had it crossed my mind until that day. And in that moment, when I felt that. And as I went on to study John Wesley a little more deeply, I found that he had a very similar experience. He was a better writer than me, and he described it as a strange warmth in his heart. That's probably better than a wet blanket. But I didn't know how else to say it. I could feel that. There was a physical thing that replaced the weight I was carrying, and it was comforting. And it impacted me so deeply that I can describe exactly the spot I was standing and where it took place. And a couple years later, I received this postcard from Blue Lake Retreat in southern Alabama, which is where I was. And this postcard has this picture of an altar. And I keep this in my study Bible because that's the view I had. That's where that picture was taken, from the exact place I was standing when that happened. And it shaped me. It called me to something completely different than I'd ever imagined. And the desire, as a physical toucher, I didn't know anything about the love languages then, but I knew I had received something I'd been desiring for some time, and I wanted now other people to experience that. I wanted people to know how deeply loved and deeply forgiven they are, how you are deeply loved and forgiven. And I wanted to be that physical representation of that. I'd finally received that physical communication that I'd been longing for, and I was called in an instant to share it. That didn't mean I knew anything about what I was getting into. But about 2 years later, after I'd completed all the check in the boxes to become a pastor, I'd finished all the studies and gone through all the board meetings and all the grilling to interviews to qualify. I'd received my license to become a local pastor. And I went to my first annual conference. The Michigan United Methodist Conference gathers once a year, and that's where everything kind of happens. And that was my first one. And we had a guest speaker that year by the name of Adam Hamilton. Has anyone ever heard of Adam Hamilton? Methodists, come on now. Adam Hamilton, one person? Okay, I'm going to go ahead and say it. This was kind of a joke before, but I'm going to say, if you haven't ever read an Adam Hamilton book, are you really a Methodist? Because he's powerful and enlightened and amazing. And he also happens to be the pastor of the Church of Resurrection in the Kansas City area, the biggest United Methodist church on the planet, and which started as a six-person church that they were borrowing a room in the back of a funeral home is where they started. And so they would meet in a funeral home on Sunday mornings, sometimes have to slide a coffin over to make room for people. And that's why they named it the Church of the Resurrection. And he, they are now 30,000 some members, and he is amazing. I didn't know all of that about him when he was our guest speaker. All I know is the first night I was there, I happened to go to a restaurant with some new friends of mine in the ministry, and when I returned from the restroom, he was sitting beside me. And he said, "I'm exhausted. He's been talking all day. Why don't you tell me your story?" And so I told him all that I just told you. I told him everything. And as he ate his salad and was blessed to not have to talk for a couple minutes. And when that dinner concluded, he said, What can I help you with? Tell me something that you're struggling with. What's your fear in going forward?" That was the year I was going to be appointed to my first church, and I had no idea. You know, there's all kinds of training, but there's no reality to it. It's all in theory. You're just learning things and picturing things and imagining things, and none of it's real until you get there and start. And so I said, right now the biggest thing I'm struggling with is what's my role in the hospital? If there's a tragic accident or someone's dying, I don't know how to be there. I don't know what to do. I don't know the right words to say. I don't know how to do that. Like, we've talked about it, but what happens when it comes to reality and I need to go at 2 a.m. to the hospital to be there?" And he said he struggled with the exact same thing, and realized very quickly that our call is to be the physical presence of God. We are called, not just in ministry, but in all of Christendom. All Christ followers are called to embody Jesus. We are called to be the body, the physical representatives of God's holy work in this world. So he said, "You know, you don't have to say anything. You can just be present. You can just be there. Some people just need a hand to hold. Some people just need a hug." And I thought, wow, that's my love language. I think I can do that. And when that initiates it, and love is exchanged at the beginning of it, the words happen. The words I was so nervous about, they just kind of show up then, because we're physically sharing that love. And as I've looked at this and considered the physical touch of God, I hope especially in this Advent season, we realize the importance of the wholeness of God. Every bit of God Almighty has been born into the physical being of Jesus, the Christ. That is this season in which we prepare ourselves. We prepare ourselves to know that Jesus the Christ was born. He was human. He was fully human and fully divine at the same time. And in that lifetime that he walked this planet, he touched people. And in that touch, he healed people. And people lined up bringing their children, bringing the sick, the lame, to be healed by Jesus' touch. And that we are called to be the body of Christ, to be the physical representatives of the holy work that God is doing on this planet. When we celebrate Christ being born every year, it's not just the manger scene. It's that thing that's being born in each of us, that we are called by name to be physically present, physical representatives, touching lives, healing through physical touch, through prayer, through hugs, handshakes, high fives, whatever it may be. We are called to be the body of Christ in a world that is desperate for a holy hug. Amen.